Welcome to Animateez, a retro anime review comedy podcast. Join our resident anime nerd Mackenzie and anime noob Lindsay as they delve into their VHS vault and review the best and worst of what the 80s and 90s had to offer. These episodes contain spoilers and adult language, so stick around if you're cool like that.
What is up, people? Welcome back to your favorite weekly anime review podcast. I am one of your hosts, Lindsay, here with my spicy as ever co-host, Mackenzie.
That is me.
Yeah. Yep. You ready for this week, Mackenzie? Are you ready for my choice? Are you hungry for more of my choices?
This is like the third time in the last like 10 minutes you've referenced being hungry for something. I feel like because of you constantly referencing hungry that I'm about to jump into an anime that's all about dieting.
Okay. What if I told you it was about superheroes?
Oh, what's that to do with being hungry? Well, you gotta get that protein to keep the muscles going.
Get those macros.
Is this our first official like superhero thing that we've done?
I mean, like, it's not
standard superheroes.
He's more like an anti-hero. He's a mercenary, and we're gonna follow him on his adventures with his special powers.
Food.
Yes.
This week
we're gonna watch Akihito Yoshitomi's 1997 show, Eat Man.
What?
Eat Man.
Is he a cannibal? Is that why he's an anti-hero? He takes down the bad guys, but he does it by eating them?
I'm not going to tell you anything else about what the superhero does and what his special abilities are, because I want you to enjoy the first episode like I did.
Oh, okay. So I'm you're basically promise never landing me.
I mean, I guess we're also going to do something a little bit different this week. I'm going to switch some things up. So Eat Man originally premiered in 1997, and it did 12 episodes on TV that was broadcast all across Japan. And fans of the manga series were not happy about it. They thought, what the fuck is this? It doesn't follow anything from the manga. You just literally took creative license and did nothing related to the source material. So what happened was they created a sequel called Eat Man 98. And they released 12 more episodes. That is not like a second season or whatever. It's apparently just quoted as like a sequel.
But it's just a remake of the original.
Yeah, it's basically just like making another series, but it's more related to the original content from which.
Okay, but what are we doing that's different?
So we are going to watch 2 episodes of Eat Man and then 2 episodes of Eat Man 98. And we're going to see which is the superior Eat Man. We're going to have fun comparing character design and introduction of characters and plots and all these fun things. So how do you feel about that?
It makes me nervous because what if we like the one that everyone hated?
I know.
And then our credibility goes completely out the window.
Well, we just have to research which is the one that people liked, and then we'll just say that we like that one.
Well, we can't do that either because then, the quality of our podcast would go down. So we have to be honest. This is a lose-lose situation if we don't like the 98 version.
We're in such a pickle.
Oh, that's another reference, isn't it?
It's just a food reference. It's not a reference to the show.
Okay.
Just a reference to eating. I love pickles.
But it's not even like a remake of like Urusei Yatsura where it's like, old remake, modern 2020s remake. It's like 1 year difference.
Yeah. It's literally like fans were pissed. We need to make a new season.
Wow. So. Imagine fucking up so badly you have to remake the entire show.
I know. So I'm excited for doing this.
Oh man. All right. This is new. I like this. It's a different way we have to watch, a different way we take notes. It's more of a comparison than it is gonna be a breakdown.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be fun. So we're gonna pop off for a little bit. We'll leave you hungry for us to return. See you in a bit.
10 seconds.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I hope you were able to grab a snack and join us for this delicious feast that we are about to partake in. Mackenzie, how did you find this series? Did it pique your interest, or did it leave you with an empty belly?
That's a good one. No.
Yeah, there's a pique joke in there.
You know, I thought this was going to be a show about a cannibal, which technically I wasn't wrong, because it turns out that he can eat people and expel them alive.
Oh!
which I discovered in my research. Fully back together again, and if they were dead, they come back alive. It's crazy. Yeah, what? I know, right? Yeah.
That's insane! What? That is the coolest D&D power.
I know, right? But what we saw in what I watched was that he can pretty much eat anything else and expel it fully put back together. In general.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Turns out there's a literal black hole in his stomach.
Yeah. I was like, that's pretty cool.
And he has superhuman strength so that he can eat all of this stuff without breaking his teeth. And like our primary character, Bolt Crank, which is a dumb Bolt fucking Crank. Name, by the way.
Oh, yeah. So stupid.
So fucking dumb. Is a variant of someone called Vash the Stampede from Trigun, which we'll watch eventually. I'm excited to show you that one.
That's cool, because I know nothing about it.
It might actually be another episode where we do a comparison. However, its version for what we'd be comparing it with is actually from the 2020s.
Can we do that on a retro anime podcast?
I don't know. I haven't decided that yet.
Of course we can. It's our podcast. We can do whatever we want.
I guess. But yeah, Bolt Crank loves eating things, exploring, killing things for money, and for some reason, turning down pretty women.
I mean, I guess if that's maybe that's...
He often has a very straight face with the occasional smirk here and there. But yeah, I was not expecting what I watched at all. I thought it was to be something related to food or cannibalism or just like something like that. Instead, I got like a weird toned down mix of Trigun, Cowboy Bebop, and a bit of Angel Cop all mixed into one.
I got one of those references. Can you guess which one?
Angel Cop?
Yeah, the one that we've watched for the show.
Yeah, that's fair. That's not to say it was bad, though. No. And I'll give my side-by-side comparison after we break down the episodes I watched, which the editor right now, which I guess is me, is going to give a magical from the ether timestamp right now. Mackenzie's alter ego, the editor here, telling you to skip to 35:53 if you want to skip the episode breakdowns and go straight to the comparison. It was still a fun watch.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like the craziest, coolest, most unique thing I've ever seen. But it was.
You say that about
still...
a show about a man who eats things and then can pull them out of his hand later.
True. But since we are reviewing both the 97 and the 98 version, there, I do have different opinions on both, which is what we'll get into after the episodes here.
Perfect.
Jumping into episode one of Eat Man 97 titled Wall of Glass, which is a dumb episode name because said wall of glass in the episode is such a small part of everything else that happens. It should have been like Mafioso Man or anything else other than Wall of Glass.
I know. I was like, are we stupid and we just didn't get the metaphor? But I'm also like, I don't think
no,
so.
No, I don't think this show's that deep.
No.
I have zero thought that this show is in any way deeper than what we see on the surface. And that's okay.
Yep, absolutely.
So we open up in a futuristic city that has been worn down and we're matched with scenes of topless women for some reason. And an empty bar where a man in a fancy suit is waiting for another man to arrive for a business meeting. Ooh. But
ooh.
This turns out to be an incredibly hot redheaded mercenary named Colleen.
So hot.
Like, unbelievably hot.
And she's got like a giant gun.
Huge, like in its own duffel bag. It's so big it's just easier to carry.
Her gun is bigger than his
almost certainly. And so this businessman is like, hey, I didn't know you'd be a lady, but that's okay. I'm not worried about that as long as you can get the job done. She's like, sick bro, I came a long way, what's the fucking job? And he's like, I need you to kill a man. And she's like, I am not a hitman, I'm mercenary. And he's like, what's the difference? And she's like, bitch, please.
I also was like, what's the difference?
There's a big difference, okay? There's a big difference.
I guess
difference.
Killing is the one difference.
Yeah. Now, some mercs will kill, but not in this, you know? But Colleen can merc me any day.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I understand.
Yeah, exactly. You get it. So, anyways, there's a man who's been sleeping in the bar, and he like stands up to sweep the bottle that got broken in this little argument with a broom, and he accidentally snags her top and it almost reveals her breast, which results in a literal 15 second silent stare down between the two before she kind of like smiles and you're like, oh, it's okay. And then smacks him, and then he smacks her back with no hesitation. I was like, what the fuck? And then he calmly just goes, hey, people make mistakes. And I was like, all right, that's fair. Like, he wasn't even looking when the accident happened. He didn't catch a glimpse. Like, he, not that what was happened was cool, but no. You can't smack someone for a complete accident. Like, damn,
I
man,
guess imagine, maybe like, it was like the, maybe it was like the lack of response to the accident that happened. He wasn't like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. It was just, he was like silent.
That's fair. I can see that. Mr. Suitman is all like, let me put a gun to your head and offer you some money to pretend you heard nothing during the lady and I's meeting. Got it? And then this motherfucker turns his head and eats the gun like it's bread.
And just in like the most camp way possible, just like, nom, 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 like nom, Cookie nom, Monster.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone's like, they're both what the fuck and also not caring as much as they should.
Yeah, that's a pretty like specialized thing to see happen right in front of you.
Yeah. And so Colleen's like, all right, fuck this, I'm out of here, and goes to leave. And Mr. Suit, whose name I never cared to write down.
No, he's like, not important.
He's like, no, wait, I'll pay you double, please stay. And this kind of gets both her and Bolt's attention, which has so far stopped him from eating his own money because the bartender gave him a free drink. And I guess if you can conjure up your own money at any time, you don't really need a wallet.
Yeah, I guess not. You just kind of,
it's
yeah.
like your own bag of holding prison wallet.
Yeah, it's kind of, oh no, I just got the last end of that comment.
Oh, the delays of recording online.
Oh, man. No, 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 I got it when you said it. I just computed it in my own brain.
Fair. And so Colleen's like, hey, maybe, let's stay the night and we'll think about it. And bro is so desperate to like get these mafiosos off his back, he's like, fuck it, let's go. I'm going to bed. I'll meet you in the morning. Colleen properly introduces herself to Bolt and asks why he would hit such a pretty lady. And Bolt's like, I didn't hit a pretty lady.
Burn.
Which is a burn and a raw line, but also fuck you, Bolt. You're wrong and I hate you.
You're going to fist fight Bolt now.
I'm a Colleen stand, all right? Or Stan, whatever the fuck the kids say these days.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was like, do they even say Stan anymore? Is it like Chugi or something now? I don't know.
I don't know.
This is us. This is the portion of the show where we feel really, really old.
Oh, man. So basically, she's like, I kill monsters and do the soldier of fortune thing for a living, but I don't kill people. But I'll give you $5 million if you become my sidekick and kill them for me.
Fair. There's a loophole. And like,
yeah. And he like turns it down at first. But $5 million is a lot of money to eat. You've always got a snack, right?
Uh-huh.
So he's like, you know what? Fuck it. Why not? Colleen goes off to bed and like throws a bottle at the bartender because he's been treating them like shit all night because he doesn't like mercenaries. And he's been charging them out the ass for things like 20 times the cost.
Which
and
we then, get it.
Yeah. And this is where we
damn
learn.
Damn you, capitalism.
Yeah. And this is where we learn from the bartender that there are weird semi-invisible cage walls outside that kill you if you go near them.
Ooh. And,
okay, wall of glass. I get it. And then Bolt just kind of listens and is like, oh, okay, interesting. Do you know why? And he's like, not really. And he's like, okay, see ya. And goes to his room.
Great.
This is where we see Colleen in his bath. And she's like, oh, looks like you got the room wrong. And he's like, nah, lady, you got your room wrong, idiot. He's all like, look, don't waste your talents. And she's like, oh, well, baby, let me see your talents. While like Ooh. Climbing onto him. And at first I was like, what the fuck, bro? Why are you saying no? And then we learn it's because he's actually really smart. And this he's known this whole time she was lying about not being a hitman just to get the guy to give her more money. And now she's trying to seduce him to get him to do things her way. It is like she knows what she's doing. She's
playing
smart.
3D chess.
Oh, yeah. I believe in my notes, I call it a love triangle of lies and deceit.
Ooh, how sexy.
She's like, are you a cop or are you not a con man? Which is a weird way of putting things. But she's like, if you're neither, we can't work together. And then he lunges at her. And I was like, oh, fuck. Maybe they all go fuck. But then he just throws her off the bed because a million mafia bullets are piercing through the wall, killing Mr. Suit, leaving him falling as the wall collapses into Bolt's bathtub. It turns out that Bolt was originally told to kill Mr. Suit and then said no, and then used that information to try and get him to hire him, which he actually knew from the other girl. It's this whole little web. But that angered wild. The mafia. And he's like, well, shit, bud, it's time for you to die, Mr. Jack of all trades. And he's like, I told you, I'm not a jack of all trades. I'm a mercenary. Before summoning the fucking gun he ate in the beginning and killing the mafia bros, because that's when we learn he doesn't just eat shit. He vomits it up through his hand.
My face when that reveal happened was just, my jaw was on the floor.
I paused and I was like, hold the fuck up. Wait a second. And that's when I had to go and Google and be like, is it just metal? And it was not. It is literally anything. Concrete, people, everything. As long as he heats all of it, it gets reconfigured as he shoots it out of his hand.
So weird.
Which, like, cool power, bro.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I love eating, so I guess that would be cool. Yeah.
I think that's just called throwing up at that point, if it's actually just food. Although, if a sandwich comes back up as a full sandwich, that'd be different.
Yeah, could you?
Yes,
you have could. You really eaten it then?
No, I guess not, but you get the taste of it, right? It's an infinite sandwich, technically.
Yeah, I guess you would only ever need one sandwich.
Which is pretty cool. Talk about saving groceries in this Loblaws world. It's a Loblawless world out there.
Excellent.
So, bro steals Colleen's gear, which is her giant gun, and then rides a car like a skateboard towards these death cages and then blows them up and then eats part of the special cage material, because you never know, bro. This guy, yeah, I know you haven't seen Trigun yet, but he reminds me so much of Vash. A less overtly goofy Vash, but a Vash all the same. And that's our first episode. It's basic. It's straight to the point. We get a little bit of shootout. We get an idea into his powers. We never see Hot Girl again, unfortunately.
None of this weird philosophical duality, lonely monologuing.
That brings us to episode two, We Who Are About to Die. And we start with another floating destroyed airship, because I forgot to mention in the first episode, there's a visual of a destroyed floating airship with no lore drops whatsoever about it.
Nothing. And I don't even think they don't ever give lore drop on what it is.
Never in any of the episodes.
No. So that's cool.
And so some folks are on a military recon mission to some island, and Bolt's been hired to help. And the doctor on the ship is all like, wow, you're so normal looking for a merc. And then he just like looks at her, eats a metal Bolt, and then drinks a gallon of gasoline he fished up from the bottom of the ocean somehow. Because if it can't harm you and you like the taste, fuck it.
I mean, gas smells cool? I don't know.
I mean, maybe to him it does.
Yeah.
The doctor and Bolt get to go off on their own because Bolt's rule for helping was no one else comes with us. Turns out that the island is some home to genetic experiments that were supposed to have died off, and they're supposed to research anything that's survived because they're apparently biological weapons.
Whoa, and we can militarize that.
So it turns out the doctor and I relate very heavily on a problem she is having. Because of her office job, she is far too out of shape to hike while carrying a heavy pack because her legs are not what they used to be.
Oh my gosh, mood.
As someone who used to bike like 10 to 30K a day and does not do that currently, I feel it. I totally feel it.
Used to walk 15,000 steps a day. Cannot do that anymore.
Whew, I'm lucky if I get to like 8.
Mm-hmm.
I think literally today I've done 400. She's like, please carry my bag. And he's like, bags are pointless. So he just carries her. But not without complaining about how she's heavier than she looks and needs to go on a diet. Which again,
right?
Fuck you, Bolt. She looks like she's like max 140. You're a bro with superhuman strength. So,
your shoulders are four, the four of your heads when they should be three.
That's what I'm saying about the angel cop thing.
Yeah.
He's got them shoulders. It turns out the army is lying, and they're also secretly going to the island because the general wants to capture these creatures to use them for, as you had previously stated, warfare. To make them the greatest army in the world. And the island's just a bunch of old tech ruins that these two are exploring, and they end up finding some birthing pods, which prompts the doctor to be like, oh, I wonder what was here that they made. And in an ominous silhouetted shot of Bolt going, nothing good. Which is like, if that's not them saying he was made here, I don't know what is.
Mm-hmm.
So the two camp out for the night, and we learn that Bolt and Alicia, which is the doctor's name, or Alisa, are in their respective fields because they aren't good at anything else. As they talk, something stalks them from the woods.
Ooh.
And we cut to a military tank in a pileup because something caused an accident by chomping down on the front tank and removing the entire left flank of it.
Right? You're like, wow, that's terrible.
And so Bolt's all like, all right, lady, ditch all your metal. This creature eats it. And she's like, pah, a creature who eats metal? Yeah, right. Before like having a flashback of this man eating metal and being like, you know what? Maybe I will take my shit off.
Oh,
honestly,
yeah. It's for your safety.
Yeah. If the mercenary I'm with tells me to do anything for my survival, I'm like, fuck it. Let's go.
They obviously know how to do it better than I do.
Yeah. If they're like, look, the only way to live right now is to staple your balls to this tree.
Oh, no.
I'm going to staple my balls to the tree. All right. I'm living.
I'm going to need some really good evidence to prove that that will help me.
Look, in times of need and something stalking you from the woods and the man who's known as the world's best mercenary tells you to do it, you just do it, okay? Just you do it. Anyways.
I was like, what kind of saw trap is this?
They run out to find the major just firing his gun all over the place. The last of his troop telling him to stand down and come home. And he refuses. He will capture this creature or die trying. And then the doctor gives this whole speech about how she wants to help this creature because it's the last one and it shouldn't have to suffer if it is sentient. But not before it attacks and eats the battleship they came in on and then confronts them on the beach. Where we learn the metal he's been eating this entire episode were the final pieces of Colleen's laser gun, which he summons and shoots the monster in the most boring and anticlimactic ending scene ever.
So anticlimactic. Okay, I'm so glad that you agree with me. I was like, come on.
We don't even see the creature.
No, we see like the feet of it.
And like some weird outlined shadow pod of something else, but we don't actually get to see the creature. We don't get to see some cool gory battle. We don't get to see any of it. The actual action happening in this episode is zero. The only shooting is by the military general into the air that we actually properly see. Like it's so fucking dumb. And that's the end of Eat Man 97, the first two episodes.
Yep. There's what
we got.
Not
a lot going on.
Nope.
Which brings us to Eat Man 98, episode one. Well, technically. Episode one of a two-part arc.
Yes.
And we start in a not-so-futuristic city. This time it's raining, and a mysterious figure has broken into a home. Who I can only assume is Bolt, because it looks like Bolt's silhouette.
Really? I thought it looked like some sort of weird, like, elf
thing?
Goblin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was my first thought, but then I was like, that's not what this show is like. Because it does look like some, like, weird necro goblin or something.
Mm-hmm.
Bro shoots this man's pillow just to wake him up so he could witness his own death,
which is like
pretty
super hardcore. Yeah.
Turns out they are a professor and they match a string of other murders of professors and scientists that the police are tracking. Mm-hmm. And this is where we're introduced to Amy.
Ooh. Ooh. How'd you feel
special,
about Amy?
I like Amy. Not as much as as Colleen, but Amy's pretty cool. She's a special investigator who goes looking for Bolt at a bar. He is, of course, eating Bolts for dinner. And I guess they used to be friends or something because she's giving him an out. She's like, look, leave town. I just leave and we'll let this be done with. And he's like, nah, let's have a drink instead. He keeps being like, arrest me. And she keeps being like, no, I'm not arresting you. And he's like, then you got to kill me. And so he pulls out a sword from some statue and threatens to kill her if she doesn't arrest him. But thankfully, some backup shows up and puts him in cuffs. But not before he eats the entire sword instantly.
And like, even like we thought it was camp in the first episode of 97. Like, even campier, just like, rah, 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 rah.
Yes.
Like,
but my little note here is I hate the silly gulp sound effect at the end. It always takes away. I hate that shit so much.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like a stock gulp sound effect. It's like gulp.
It's like the Wilhelm scream.
Yeah, the Wilhelm gulp. Exactly.
Yep.
They put him in a metal cell, which is funny because he can get out of anywhere he needs to go.
Yeah, I was like, do they not know? They didn't do the research.
They don't know yet.
Oh, yeah.
And so Amy still doesn't have her answers to why he's come back. And she goes home and finds her girlfriend dying in bed because she couldn't reach her medication.
Holy moly.
She's like some weird disease making her body start to like get all veiny and weird.
Just this like gross blob of body horror.
Thankfully, she gets her medication and then they kiss. And Naomi's all like, I can smell Bolt on you.
Ooh, what a good girlfriend.
Which is a really weird thing to say.
Oh, absolutely.
If I kissed a girlfriend and they were like, you smell like your best friend, I would be like, that's a problem.
Oh, no. Would that be more of a problem? Or if she had glitter on her, would that be a problem?
Oh, you do know how much I hate glitter.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to sound weird, but probably the glitter thing, because I can probably be like, oh, my friend's got a really strong like cologne or something, and that might clear that up. But glitter, it's just, oh.
It's an unstable substance.
Yes, you've destroyed my house with glitter before. Never again. Not fucking happening.
I'm sorry. I've stopped doing burlesque.
The burlesque was fine. It was the glitter that was the problem.
Also, I didn't stop doing burlesque because of that. People don't get mad at us.
Police learn all of these scientists were part of like a classified bio-research program.
It's what they always are.
Of course. Mm-hmm. And we learn that one of the last remaining doctors is about to get killed. In fact, we see him get killed. Then it cuts to Bolt, who has eaten a hole in the concrete wall of his cell because this guy does not get indigestion.
Like, not even like just a little hole that he can escape, like a massive hole.
Like
way bigger than it needs to be. Like a tank-sized hole. Yeah, I was like, he didn't Shawshank out of here. He like, yeah, significantly damaged the wall.
And so
him and a buddy could climb through that hole.
Amy arrives on the scene of the crime in an outfit that might help turn public opinion of the police from ACAB to ACABIA, which is all cops are bastards except Amy. Also, the police chief is starting to question if she knows Bolt personally, because he's like, you are a little too friendly when you talk about this man.
And you smell like him.
I don't think he picks quite up on that.
Ah, dang it.
He's got smell-o-vision in all the cells. He's like,
oh.
The guy in 3B smells like chicken.
This one Anyways. Has sandalwood and tobacco.
She goes looking for Bolt and instead finds her girlfriend Naomi in a genie outfit.
Yeah.
Running away from the crime scene.
That's not suspicious.
No. And so she escapes to a rooftop where she lands in the arms of Bolt, who she is very excited to see. Mm-hmm. But Bolt is entirely indifferent to her love. Because this man's level of riz is everyone wants him. He wants no one.
Yeah, he's got like a negative two.
Technically, since everyone wants him, he's like really high, but his social skills are too low to accept.
He's not able to reciprocate. He's not able to do reciprocal riz.
Exactly. It's one way riz. He's not the Rizzler, he's the Rizzy. Sorry.
It's okay, I love it.
It turns out, though, that Naomi has now been away from her medicine for too long, and she quickly begins to transform into what I imagine the creature from the first series is supposed to look like.
Right?
Because they have the same spiky ankles.
And they're purple?
Oh, they're purple and spiky and a little larger, but they've still got cute blonde hair and humanish facial features, because why not? Gotta make sure the fans still want to fuck the monster.
Gosh, you are not wrong.
Like, you look at that thing and I knew exactly. I was like, there was someone on like some forum somewhere back in the day was just like, oh, you guys ever think about fucking Naomi? And they're like, yeah, she's pretty cute. Like, no, monster Naomi.
The character designer was like, we need to make it hotter.
Yeah, exactly. They kept like most of the facial features and of course the incredibly big blonde Sailor Moon hair
and the weird like boobs.
Yes. Of course, all monsters have to maintain their boobs.
Weird boobs.
Duh. And that's the end of episode one.
Mm-hmm. They leave you on a cliffhanger.
Thankfully, this series is not just episodic. We've actually got a continuation of this in episode two, where we again start off on the roof with police shooting at this blonde-haired beast while looking into these scientists' research. And then Naomi jumps into a helicopter and breaks into it just to yell, Bolt isn't a criminal at some like police agents.
That'll do it.
Which like made me laugh out loud, because like that's not what I expected at all to happen when she like clawed her way onto this helicopter.
Yeah, she definitely was like, no. But also, could you imagine being that like research person who's like doing all this intel about like these experiments and stuff like that, and all of a sudden this like purple goblin woman is just like, hey, Bolt isn't the one you want.
No, it would be terrifying.
Absolutely.
And this is where we learn that the scientists were doing experiments on hundreds of human orphans.
Aww.
Where 98% died.
Oh, that's not a good stat.
No, and Naomi was one of the few that survived, but just barely.
Yeah, she's like Ica with her metal Nate guard. I don't remember. Alternate. Alternate.
The police are like, fuck it, kill her. And so they shoot a laser through her chest, which makes her revert back to being human in Amy's arms as she goes,
I guess.
Bye-bye, Amy. Which is like a sad moment. It was a sad moment.
It was heartbreaking.
Like, I wasn't expecting that. I thought they were going to, like, shoot it and that was it. But no, you get, like, an in-arms, sad revelation of your girlfriend dying.
Just dying in your arms tonight.
After this happens, Bolt, like, vomits up all the concrete he ate to, like, take down a helicopter from, like, causing any more damage. And then they arrest him again, and the guys are like, man, I kind of feel bad for this Naomi girl. You'd go feral, too, if they, like, fucked up your life that bad.
100%. She's, like, her feelings are absolutely valid.
And so Bolt's talking to the police, and he tells them he's trying to get there before the murders happen, but is always too late. And they're like, oh, it wasn't you. And then he goes, but it also wasn't Naomi. And they're like, okay, so it is you, because they use a gun.
Because that's the only two options. Because we're good police officers.
Yeah, the only two options are gun or monster hands.
Yeah, goblin.
If you're killing anyone any other way, you're doing it wrong.
Why would you do it any other way? That's just foolish. Yeah.
Goblin hands preferable. That's a weird thing. We're going to get the police called to our door. Anyways. I believe in Canada we have CSIS.
Okay, that's what it was. I didn't know what it was. I was like, MI6? No.
No, that's definitely the UK. But anyway, so they're like bringing him back to his cell, and he looks at the guy and he's like, look, man, I'm sorry. And then proceeds to vomit up 2 tons of a metal airship, blowing out the side of this police station and flying away.
Hey, he does it with pizzazz.
I'm not surprised by the stuff coming out of his hand. I'm used to that now. What I'm surprised by is the sheer amount of metal and parts and wires you have to eat, because he doesn't have a jaw that goes massive.
He has a normal human
jaw that has to eat this entire airship piece by piece. That's not a small project.
That's a feast.
Bro took the time. Bro's got a little workshop he goes to on the weekends, and he slowly eats things he'll eventually need in life.
I mean, that's called preparation.
You know what? That's true. He's smart for that.
We love a man who, like, thinks ahead.
Yeah, exactly. He's, you know, you're in a car with him and it gets stuck in a snowdrift and he's like, don't worry, I got heating blankets. It pops open his front thing. Glorious.
Got
but
cat
so,
litter to get traction.
Exactly. So he goes to confront the real murderer. For it was Amy all along.
What?
She goes off to, like, kill this final scientist. And she chases him through his home to a backtrack of some sick rockabilly.
I mean, it was really cool. I loved the music for the 98 series so much.
So good.
Better than the 97 series.
Oh, yeah. And so we get, like, explosions.
Minus the theme.
And so we get explosions. We get exposition on how she was also a child who was experimented on. And then the police chief shows up and orders his agents to shoot her. But don't worry. Because Bolt shows up just in time for the final scientist to get hit with a real bitch of a headache in the form of a bullet to the brain.
Ooh, don't you hate when that happens? She's such a headache.
But before they can shoot her, she gets motherfucking hand vomited with a sword that he ate earlier in the first episode. And kills Amy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, sitting there and I'm like, bruh. Why? What the fuck is going on? What are you doing? Why? No.
I was like, I feel like this just makes more problems for you. Because, like, originally she was just the only one that was getting charged with murder. And now you also are getting charged with murder.
Yeah, you cleared your name. Now you're not. But then we learn that the thing that her body got is being immortal.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually just helping her to escape. He was killing her to give her a new life.
Give her
and
freedom.
Yeah, she's like, why'd you do this? And he's like, because technically you're dead now. You can go do whatever you want. She was like, oh shit, you're right. I killed the scientist.
You can get a credit card.
And I get to go do what I want? He wasn't trying to stop her from killing the scientists. He was trying to just save her ass from any additional problems. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also turns out that he was at the research facility because he was one of the first successful biohumans, and he quote unquote worked there with a lot of the kids when they were younger as a part of that, which I did not see coming. I knew he was like one of those people, but I did not see them knowing each other, because it turns out that he can't age and he is significantly older than she is.
Yeah, there's like one theory that he's been around since like the beginning of time.
I doubt that. I feel like it's more he's been around for like 50 extra years. And that's why she'd known him since birth, basically. So even now when she's like in her late 20s, he's also still in his late 20s. And she's known him in his late 20s for this whole time. Because he's bioengineered, so he would have had to have been created by these same people, right? So unless they've been going since like medieval times.
But what if he wasn't bioengineered and that's just how he was?
Maybe he was the progenitor of all of it and they just started researching him and using his blood for some crazy shit like that?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's a possibility. But that's the end of that episode.
So that's the end of our four episodes.
It's the end of our four episodes, which is where we now get to break down the differences between the two.
Oh, man.
And you recently mentioned music.
I did, yes. So I found that the music in 98 was better than 97, but I liked the theme for 97 better than 98.
I disagree.
Really? Okay.
So, 97. The song has a nice driving beat, but I honestly could have done without what sounded like a non-rock singer attempting to sound hardcore. It could have been a banging song if someone else performed it. And that completely took me out of it. And then the music in the series did not fit in 97.
No.
It often felt out of place or didn't suit the mood at all. It just didn't make sense. But 98, where you didn't like the song, I loved it. It's like this tangy. Yeah, it's like this tangy Japanese rockabilly. Fits so much better with the vibe of the show.
I thought it sounded like it should be in like a Tarantino film. Like an old Tarantino film.
But that's why I like it, though, because this show has like an outlaw vibe to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's like, a mercenary, he's an outlaw.
I'm not saying it's like a bad song. I'm just saying I think I preferred 97's theme.
That's fine. You can be wrong.
Wow. You did not.
Get fucked, Lindsay.
Wow.
Your
thanks,
opinion
Mac.
Ain't worth shit.
Is it because I'm a woman?
No, it's just because you're wrong.
Okay, one sound element that I hated for 98 was the freaking bumpers, where it just like is the bolt dropping and then it it's just like a fairy like glass breaking bullshit sound. It did not work.
The bumpers were not good.
Oh, I hate.
But the overall soundtrack was way better.
Absolutely.
We get better ambient tracks. We get this like fantastic country and rockabilly tracks that kind of gives it more of the outlaw vibe of the show. And you might think, oh, Mac, what's futuristic kind of, right? Wouldn't some sick lo-fi or synthwave make sense? And normally, I might say yeah, but in this case, for some reason, I really liked the route they went, the more like cowboy kind of style for it.
Also, it was the 90s. Personally.
The story for Eat Man 97.
Mm-hmm.
This original series, it felt slower, but it left more room for funny moments. Unfortunately, it didn't leave a lot of room for explaining fucking anything. Why do we have these broken airships? Why can he eat anything? It's
what is
so
this weird crystal that's in the beginning of our theme song?
Like, yeah, it looks like it's supposed to be so important, but
right? Bleh? Never. Nope. And apparently they just don't explain it in the rest of the series, because that was one of the like main critiques people had, was like there's so many unanswered questions.
Yeah, and because it's so episodic, it gives no room for growth of anything regarding a story.
Exactly. Like, you can't form an opinion on these episodic characters because they're gone in 20 minutes.
There is no repeating imagery that gets explained. I was hoping to see more of Colleen because we established this fun, sultry, interesting character. And I was like, oh, they're going to like pair up. You know, he runs away, like drives off in her car, but then they're going to meet up in the second episode. And she's gonna be like, look, man, I need some help. I'm sorry I tried to trick you before.
Not at all.
No, we see Dick all, and then the next character, the doctor's fine. But I was like, there's, we never see the doctor again. The next character we're going to see, we never see them again.
Nope.
It's like, come on. I need something for some kind of growth.
I know, because especially because Boltcrank is such a silent type that we don't get that relationship that we care about.
Mm-hmm.
We're just like, all right, we're just following him.
And we got so much out of Colleen talking to him, and she established so much as being like the more talkative side of things. I thought, oh, sidekick, perfect. Gonna go great.
Yeah, she balanced out really well.
Nada. Nope. Thankfully, in Eat Man 98, it was darker in tone,
mm-hmm.
Which I kind of struggled deciding if I prefer that or not, but I think I do. I just would have liked a couple more comedic moments. Nothing over the top, but just some more subtle ones like in 97.
But
the series actually has storylines.
Yes.
And they go on for 2 to 3 episode arcs that are literally titled part 1, part 2, part 3. And it gives us more time to tell a proper story. This is by far the better storytelling method, because something like this can't be episodic. It needs to have ongoing things that answer your damn questions.
Yeah, if you're going to do episodic, you need to do something. You need to have more depth and development in your characters, and you need to be very specific in how you do it.
Exactly.
And they just didn't. They're just like, you know what we're going to do? Have some sexist jokes. Have some fatphobic jokes. Like, just very low-hanging fruit.
Yeah. And, like, this one gave me a shit ton of questions, mm-hmm. but it answered all of them.
Mm-hmm.
All of the loose ends were tied up by the end of part 2 of this little mini arc.
Yeah.
All of them. Every question was answered. I also really liked Amy as a character in this. Not nearly as much like Colleen, but she was a good choice for being the whole, like, secret murderer of the whole thing. Because
mm-hmm.
at first you're like, oh, like, for a split second, I was like, oh, because I had seen, like, her image in, like, the thumbnail. And I was like, oh, she's probably the murderer. And then quickly I was like, no, it's Bolt. And then I was like, oh, no, it's clearly Naomi. And then it went back to Amy again, because the story was written well enough that it actually gave you that proper intrigue of, like, hold on, who is actually the person doing the killing?
It didn't do the Scooby-Doo thing where you're like, oh, okay, that's the person, that's the killer.
Yeah.
It's the first act, but that's the killer.
Exactly. So while I did miss some more comedic moments, I think the story of 98 was far superior.
Mm-hmm. With me, when I first watched that first 97 episode, I really liked it. I was like, oh, okay, 97, I think I'm going to prefer over 98. But then I kept watching more of 97 and I was like, oh, that was just like a one-off. That was a oopsies that they accidentally got it right.
Episode 1 of 97 is super fun. It's like, it's really good with good character introduction. And then they just screw the pooch on the rest of it.
Yeah.
I don't have the history with the manga, so I don't really have that anger towards 97 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I still prefer 98 so far from what we've talked about.
Absolutely. I started watching more of 98. I'm already enjoying it more.
Instead of being like, oh, fuck this shit, 98 all the way, it's more like, wow, that was fine, but 98's better.
Yep, 100%. And it's funny because when you look at the reviews that the two shows have, it kind of like demonstrates that. Like, yeah, like they're good. This one was just slightly better.
Yeah, because like, let's look at the art and design.
Mm-hmm.
The original Eat Man art isn't terrible by any means. It felt a little flat because there were some shadows and details missing that could have been added to give some extra depth, especially because the series is so dark that it kind of gets this muddied look, kind of like 3x3 eyes got at times. And then when it comes to like Boltcrank, stupid name aside himself, his original design, they went with a much darker green coat and like the bright red glasses.
I liked that one much better.
I love the glasses.
They're so good.
I've said it before, but he reminds me of like a slowed down Vash the Stampede. However, personally, while the glasses are a nice standout for the rest of his outfit, it doesn't feel very main character-y for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I especially don't like that they gave him crystals in his hands that are like summon the things that he eats, because it felt more
just these magic. Rubies.
Yeah, they felt more magic than sci-fi.
Less mechanical, yeah.
If they were going for, like, super cool mercenary, I didn't get that vibe with him, like, outfit-wise. It felt very muted. So you prefer the look of the 97 outfit?
Yeah, I just found 98 to be too, like, complicated but unnecessarily complicated. Like, what are all these straps doing? I don't know. I thought for being, like, a mercenary who travels around and all that stuff, like, I thought 97 was better. Also, red glasses.
See, as a Trigun fan, I like all the straps, so you'll have to get used to those. But I think you'll like the outfit because it's bright red. But anyways, so
great.
In Eat Man 98, we see a huge increase in the quality of production.
Oh, yeah.
There's way more depth to the art. It's brighter. The backgrounds and general design felt way more cohesive. And even when we spent time in the dark, there was more contrast.
I agree.
And then, of course, this time, Bolt was rocking plain black sunglasses, which I also miss the red ones.
Yeah, it's like I didn't like them.
But I still prefer the fact that the coat was a brighter green with more detail, because it made him stand out both as a main character and because it's such a dark series. He stood out against the darker backgrounds and contrasted more with what was going on around him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right there. I don't know. I felt like it didn't, like it the contrast was there, yes, and it made him stand out against things, but it felt out of place, I guess. I don't know. I just didn't feel like it fit as well with the other greens that you, or, you know, and blues that you saw in other parts of the series. So that's like, fair. Sometimes you can push it a little too far and it's like, okay, but now it doesn't fit within the world. So
that's fair.
I just think they needed to balance it a little bit better.
I think the perfect outfit for me would have been an in-between of the greens, so not quite as dark, and then with the red glasses.
It gives him that main character energy.
Yeah, unfortunately that the red glasses were not part of the original manga, so that's why they went for the black this time. But do think it was a mistake to not go for the red again. Also, they both wear these like hipster beanies, which is very funny to me.
I own like three of those hats.
I do not doubt it. He kind of has like Inuyasha hair.
Kind of.
So like just rocking this like beanie, looking like a hipster who's, instead of trying to sell you coffee, is going to sell you bullets to your skull.
Hell yeah.
For me, he felt more like a mercenary. He just felt so much more detailed, but also the objects that he conjured up in this one felt also like way more detailed. Mm-hmm. They weren't just like
when he's regurgitating all of that rubble and stuff. It's just like,
exactly. It wasn't just like a shine and like a quick little vroom. It was like a full on. This ship is
like
being built out of his hand. Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And of course, I liked Amy's Matrix vibes that she kind of gave off at times, especially in the end sequence.
Her gigantic bangles drove me nuts. I was like, how are these staying on her body?
Magnets.
Yeah. Okay.
Jeez.
Oh, man.
Also forgot that when we were talking music, we did not talk about the outro songs. And that's probably because they're in no way memorable whatsoever. Because
I was like, I don't remember what they were. I remember not really caring for them.
These are my exact notes for the outro song on 97. Nah, bro. This shit ain't it. And then for 98, it's the outro song is better than the other, but it's still not great. Too slow.
Nope. Drives me
so
nuts.
You're not missing anything by not listening through the credits.
You have our permission if you skip the credit song.
For those of you that are, you know, animates subs or something, I don't know. I mean subs of the YouTube channel, of course.
Yeah, that's what you meant, and I wasn't because
I've got a playlist of all of the songs we listen on the series.
Yeah, that's what it is,
which is true. I just need to update it. But yeah, so it's clear that I prefer Eat Man 98.
Yeah, I think I also prefer Eat Man 98.
If Eat Man 97 had Eat Man 98's like animation and style,
and
then continued the plot moving forward with the same characters from episode one, I probably really would have preferred the story of Eat Man 97, but I don't. And
nope.
If I got to give it a rating,
yeah, I was like, guess what the ratings are.
So I'm gonna guess in a second, but my personal rating for 97 is like a 5.3.
Oh wow, okay.
And then for Eat Man 98, it's a 6.55.
Okay.
Not bad.
All right.
Didn't blow me away.
What do you think it was rated on Mal?
I'm going to say that Eat Man 97 is rated at 5.14. And Eat Man 98 is rated at 6.27.
You were very close with your 98 predictions. 97 on Mal is 6.4. And 98 is 6.7.
Oh, so people really didn't give much of a shit between the two of them.
No, but if you look at the IMDb ratings for this, Eat Man 97 got a 7.4 and Eat Man 98 got a 6.7.
This is why I don't trust IMDb.
How dare you?
Look, for film, it makes sense. For anime, it does not whatsoever.
Yeah, fine.
So I was pretty close. And I think my scores are still fair.
I think they're fair too. Like, it's nothing spectacular. We've definitely watched better things, but it was definitely interesting. Worse things.
But you know what though? Yeah. I really liked your change this week of comparing a similar series.
Oh my gosh, thanks,
that Mac. That was pretty fun. I enjoyed that. I've got a spreadsheet that I built for my comparisons.
Wow, so, you like went all in.
I got my categories column, I got my Eat Man 97 column, got my Eat Man 98 column. And then I got my Word doc for all my other notes. I love Excel, except I love Google Sheets. Oh, man. Instead.
I know, Google Sheets is great. Anyways, this isn't a Google Sheets podcast.
No. I was getting some reviews of the podcast, and one person was like, yeah, it's pretty funny. I like when they banter. They stay on topic most of the time, but sometimes they say random stuff that has no relevancy.
Listen, guys and gals and all of our other pals, we both have ADHD. Wait, I have ADHD. Do you have ADHD?
I'm getting a test in 1 month.
Hell yeah. So shut up.
Fuck it.
Oh, man. But yes, if you liked this episode, please like and subscribe. Follow us on all of our social medias. And you can also listen to previous episodes that we have uploaded, such as Robot Carnival, Dragon Ball, Neighborhood Stories. I'm just naming all the ones that I'm pretty sure that I brought to the show. What else did we do?
Did you just say you brought Dragon Ball to the show?
No.
You listed three and you're like, I brought all these to the table, motherfucker. That was not true whatsoever.
Guys, everybody, I'm the one who brought Dragon Ball to the world.
Oh, I see. You're Lindsay Toriyama. Got it.
Yes, exactly. Anyways, you could listen to all those episodes, plus some things that Mac probably brought as well to the show. They're all on where you found this one, so go listen to them because they're really funny and we put a lot of hard work in them and we'd appreciate it. But that's it for this week's episode, so we're gonna bolt now, but catch us next week when it's Mac's turn to serve me up something to digest.
Yeah? Oh my god.
You're welcome for that. Bye-bye!
And in an ominous silhouetted shot of Bolt in the dark. Oh my god.
It's dry.